Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Well, Paul Ramo's taking the day off doing some other running around, but we do have Dick Newman here, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. How are you doing, Dick?
Real fine.
Hey, we had a live studio audience today.
Yes, we do.
Daddy Bjargon over here.
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of clap whenever her dad says something intelligent.
She might not be clapping a lot.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to the Lycoboro Valley Coaches Show. We're going to mix things up a little bit today because of the baseball tournament starting at 11 o'clock this morning. So Darby Bjargon is talking baseball and three games this early part of the week.
Yeah. We got three games to cover here, Dick. On Monday, we played Canby at home. We were in RTR Tuesday at home, and then we were on the road at CMCS on Thursday. So we'll start with the Canby game. This was a game that we were a little, the team and the coaches were a little scared of because it's the Monday after prom, and the kids are a little little tired and lackadaisical, but they showed up in a big way for us, and we were really excited about that. So we came away with a 10-0 win in five innings. We had 10 runs on 10 hits and one error. So Gavin Mortensen had a run for us and a stolen base. Grant Bierke was 1-for-3 with two runs, two stolen bases, one RBI. Nolan Smith was 3-for-3 on the day with three runs, a double, and two stolen bases. And that's not all he did on the day. We'll get to the next part. And Brant Schomer was 2-for-3 with one run, two stolen bases, and two RBIs. Tanner Tilbury was 2-for-3 with one run, two stolen bases, and three RBIs. Jackson Fernolds had a run. Carter Moen was 1-for-3 with a double and an RBI. Easton Fernolds had a run, a stolen base, a hit by pitch. And Max Young was 1-for-2 with a stolen base and an RBI. Starting on the mound for us that day was Nolan Smith. He went all five innings. He had five strikeouts, gave up two hits. There was no walks, zero runs, and, of course, zero earned. So Nolan had a really big day at the plate and on the mound for the Eagles. And I just compliment the guys on the energy that they brought on that Monday after prom. It's always usually a tough day to play. On Tuesday, we welcome section team, RTR, to Madison, and they're one of the better teams down in the south right now. I think they're sitting in the top three for seeding down there in the south in 3A. It was a really close game all the way. It was 5-4 in the sixth. RTR was up, and then they managed to get a couple more in the seventh. So they ended up winning the game 7-4, but a very competitive game and almost playoff-like atmosphere for both teams. So both teams wanted to win the game, and it was fun. Good competitive game. On the day, Gavin Mortensen scored a run for us. Grant Bierke was 1-for-3. Nolan Smith scored a run. Brant Schomer scored a run. Tanner Tilbury was 2-for-4 with a run. Jackson Fernolds was 2-for-4 with an RBI. Carter Bone had an RBI. And Easton Fernolds was 1-for-2 with a sack and an RBI. We got to get Carter Moen on the mound to start for us. He went five innings, struck out three, walked two, five hits, gave up four runs, and two of those were earned. And Bryson Danzizan finished the last two innings for us. He threw, he had one strikeout, one walk, two hits, three runs, and they were earned. So good innings by both Carter and Bryson. We asked them to throw strikes, and they did exactly what we asked them to do. So we have a lot of confidence moving forward with those two on the mound when we need them. And then on Thursday, we went to CMCS. Still another cold day. We can't seem to find a warm day around here. But not a pretty game for us. We talked about that after the game. We had seven errors on the day, but we were able to overcome that, which is rare. Usually if you're having seven errors, it's tough. If you can get by with one or two in a game, usually can find a way to win. We had seven, but we ended up winning 17-6. And the guys really did a good job at the plate because we ended up with 14 hits on the day. Leading off all year, I guess, has been Gavin Mortensen doing a really nice job there, either getting on base with walks, hits, or whatever. But he was 3-for-4 for the day, two runs scored, two stolen bases, and two RBIs. Grant Bierke had a run and a stolen base. Nolan Smith was 2-for-5 with a run and an RBI. Brant Schomer had three runs and three stolen bases. Tanner Tilbury has been hitting the ball really well. He's 3-for-5 with two runs, a double, and an RBI. Jackson Fernolds, same thing in the sixth spot for us. He was 3-for-4 with three runs, a double, and three RBIs. Carter Moen had a run. Easton Fernolds had a run. Bryson Danzizen was 1-for-2 with 2 runs and a stolen base, and Max Young was 2-for-3 with a run and an RBI. So, you know, production all throughout the lineup, and Bryson Danzizen was thrown in the lineup because of an injury to Easton Fernalds early on, and he stepped in and did a really nice job getting on base and getting a hit, his first hit of the year, I believe. So, well done being ready to go. And something that we've talked about with Bryson is that even though you maybe don't see as much action as some of the other guys, you may be the most valuable player on the team because you play so many positions, and we know you're there and you can do whatever we need you to do. So really thankful that Bryson's able to step up and do a good job for us there. Starting on the mound for us was Jackson Fernalds. He went 3 2/3. We had to pull him because of the pitch count. He had 4 strikeouts, 5 walks, gave up 5 hits, 6 runs, and no earned runs. Nolan Smith was through 2 1/3 innings for us, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, and 1 hit, no runs, no earned. And Grant Bierke finished out the last inning for us, getting up no hits, no runs, and no earned runs. So other than the errors, our pitch count would have been down, and Jackson probably could have gone a few more innings. But after we settled in a little bit, the last two guys, didn't, their pitch count wasn't very high, and we were able to get out of there pretty quickly with lower pitch count numbers.
Okay, then that brings us to today.
Yeah, so today we've got 11 o'clock. Adrian Ellsworth comes to town. Another big section game. They're either sitting 1 or 2 in the South for a section game, so it'd be nice to get a win on the first one. And then Adrian Ellsworth plays Border West, the second game of the day, and we'll finish the nightcap or afternoon cap, whatever you want to call it, against Border West following that second game.
Then next week.
Next week, Tuesday, senior night for us at KMS. So if you would like to come down and honor our 3 seniors that have done a really nice job leading the team, we'd appreciate that. That'd be Malcolm Lilliard, Nolan Smith, and Brant Schomer. That's KMS at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. Then we go to Mineota on Thursday for a conference game, and Friday in Dawson for our third conference game of the week.
Yeah, well, that's a makeup game.
That's a makeup game, yep, from earlier in the year, yes.
Okay, well, thanks for the report this morning, and you'll be at the ballpark from here on out till probably 6 o'clock or so.
Come on down if you're looking
that's
for
right.
something to do.
Yeah, that's right. Darby Biergon on baseball, Kip Stender on girls golf after the commercial.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Okay, back here at the studio for the Culture Show, Kip Stender in the hot seat, and 3 events to talk about, Kip.
Yeah, we started the week off on Tuesday in Dawson with a conference meet. Finishing third was Community Christian with a 181. Second was Lacaparo Valley with a 179, and Dawson won the event with a 178. So it was a cold day, probably one of the more challenging days. But the girls shot well, and we're 1 stroke out of, you know, tying Dawson there. Medalists on the day, Hope Reed and Margot Clausen tied for second from Community Christian, and Molly Halverson was the medalist with a 36. Rounding out the Eagles, Kate Alstead was 6 with a 45. Harper Valla and Peyton Sachs shot a 49. That was Harper's personal best round, a 49. And America Villa was 58, and Micaiah Thompson 51. Then Thursday we went to have our final conference event of the year match in Community Christian at Valley Golf Course in Wilmer. In third place, we finished third, Lacaparo Valley with a 188. Community Christian was second with a 187, and Dawson shot a 162 to win the event. On the day, pulling up the individual results here. In third place was Kate Alstead with a 40. Kyler Yamlin finished second with a 38, and Alyssa Swedinski won it with a 36. Rounding out the Eagles, Peyton Sachs and Molly Halverson shot 46 for Peyton Sachs, 48 for Molly. Harper Valla finished with a 54, and America Villa with a 58. Then, so that concluded our conference season, and Friday we went to Russell Tyler Ruthton to Tyler for the RTR invite. And we finished second in that tournament. Was a decent number of teams there. There were eight teams. Winning the tournament with a 346 was Dawson Boyd. We finished second with a 372. RTR was third with a 396. Laverne fourth with a 399. Camby 430. Sleepy Eye United 430. Huron Lake, Okabena, a couple other schools there, 446, and Mineota 462. Individually on the day, medalist was Molly Halverson with an 83. Second place was Alyssa Swedinski with an 84. Kyler Yamlin was third with an 86. Peyton Sachs finished fourth with an 87. Rounding out the Eagles, Kate Alstead, 94 for ninth. America Villa shot a 108, so one of her better rounds of her career. And Micaiah Thompson, a 115. Peyton Redepenny, a 121. And Harper Valla, a 122 to round out the Eagles.
Okay, next week?
Next week we have the conference championship in Marshall. So 18 holes starting, I believe it's 9 o'clock, so up early.
Is that Tuesday?
It's Tuesday, yes.
Oh, okay, in Marshall.
Yep,
okay.
And it's looking windy, so we love the wind.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about that next Saturday morning.
All right, thanks, Dick.
Kip Stender on girls golf. Do we have time to get Barry Bessonen in, Maynard?
I think we do.
Okay.
14 minutes.
Oh, okay, perfect. Barry Bessonen on the boys' golf after this.
Spring in the savings at the Country Butcher in Dawson. This week's specials are here, and they're too good to pass up. Bone-in pork chops, just $2.20 a pound. Frozen white wrapped steaks, 25% off. Perfect for firing up the grill or stocking your freezer with quality meats at a great price. Stop in and see us this week. We've got everything you need for delicious home-cooked meals. The Country Butcher's open Tuesday through Friday, 10 to 5:30, Saturday, 9 to 1, and closed Sunday and Monday.
Back here, talking boys golf with Barry Bessonen. How many events, Barry?
We had three this week as well. Tuesday we started off with a conference meet down in Dawson, which would be our fifth of the six meets for the conference season. And that was won by Central Minnesota Christian with 154, a nice score in the cold and wind that day. We were second at 165. Dawson was third at 167, followed by KMS, Community Christian, McCray, and Ortonville. Individually for us, we were led by Caden Stender, who shot 39, had a nice round that day in the conditions. Griffin Kranz shot 40. Noah Arndt, 42. Carson Tilbury, 44. Aaron Bond, 46. And we had Harris Borsted, who unfortunately had to injury withdraw. He had a sprained an ankle earlier in the day and tried to tough it out, but he could only get through about six holes, and he couldn't walk very well anymore, so he had to come in. Hopefully we gave him the rest of the week off, and hopefully he'd be healed up and ready to go next week. Unfortunately for him, he wasn't able to finish the event. Individually for the event, I think it was Community Christian dominated the top two. Eli Gertis at 37, Joseph Graves 38, Caden Stender was tied for third at 39 with a player from Central Minnesota Christian, another one from Community Christian. So good performance going to Dawson and play well and as we said, not so ideal conditions. Thursday we went over to Wilmer to Valley Golf Course on the east side of town and played this Community Christian Conference event to close out our conference nine-hole season. That one was won again by Central Minnesota Christian, again with a 154. Dawson Boyd was second at 161. We were third at 162. And then it went to KMS, Community Christian, McRae, and Ortonville to round out the field. Individually for us, again, we were led by Caden Stender, who's really played well probably the last week and a half or so. He shot 38, ended up fourth place. Then we had Noah Arndt at a 40. Aaron Bond at a 42. Broden Tilbury had stepped in. And I said Harris was down with an injury. Broden Tilbury stepped in for his varsity meet, shot 42 and had a counting score. Griffin Kranz was 44, and then Carson Tilbury was 48 for us. Individually was, again, like I said, Caden was fourth. The top three were, Carter Tagus from Community Christian was one plus one, one over. Eli Gertis was tied for second with Carson Stratmon, who had two over, and then Caden was three over. So the scores are starting to come down for us, and, the play's getting a little better. The day was a pretty nice day, I think, at Wilmer. So Friday we went to Tyler Golf Course for the RTR Invitational. There are nine teams there, and it turned out to be kind of a tight field with five teams finishing within 10 shots of first place. And we ended up being in fifth place with a 323. Sleepy Eye United won it at 313. Minneota was second at 317. Laverne was third at 318. Dawson Boyd was fourth at 321. We were 323. And I know I watched about five different shots that we could have just shouldn't have happened. So I think the round we could have, we were right there. So you had five teams, though, within 10 shots, which makes for a very competitive day. Then the rounding out the field, there was quite a gap then to sixth place with Southwest Minnesota Christian, Canby, RTR, and Heron Lake, Okabena, Fulda, Westbrook, Walnut Grove, rounding out the field. That's three schools there together. So again, a season low for 18 holes for us. And again, being competitive for those teams. Sleepy Eye's got a strong team. They're in the state tournament last year. Minneota's a strong team as well. Laverne's a solid team. And, of course, us and Dawson are there. So it was a good competitive event. Very windy day. It had some warmth, but it was very windy. And there are some holes out on the Tyler course. You get out on the west side of the golf course where it's wide open.
Yeah, that's so, quite a course, isn't it?
Yeah, you get out by the airport, and there's nothing stopping the wind. So you get in the older holes, and you got some hills, and you get down in some valleys, and they get a little more protected. But leading us, we had Noah Arndt shot 78. He came in ninth place. Griffin Kranz was 79. Caden Stender with another good day at 82. Grant Bierke came through with an 84. Aaron Bond with an 89. He rallied back. He had a really tough start, especially hit his first tee shot out of bounds. In fact, his whole group, I watched him, their whole group went out of bounds on the first hole with a crosswind. But he bounced back well. And then Carson Tilbury shot 89 as well to round out our scoring for us. Individually, the medalist was Nolan Kachera from Sleepy Eye United, ninth grader, who shot two under yesterday in the condition 69, and he's a good player. He look at him, he's very small, but he's a good player. And then second place was tie at two over 73. Carson Stratmon from Dawson Boyd and Blaze Hulzebus from Minneota were tied for second and third with 73. It was a good tournament, good field. Course down there is in great shape. Greens were rolling well, and it was a good little test for coming up this week.
Okay, and this week is conference.
We got the conference tournament Tuesday down in Marshall. So again, as Kip said, it's the forecast is. I think the temperatures are going to be all right, but it's going to blow. Those greens have a lot of slope to them. So we'll see how that handles. And then Wednesday, we're going to the Benson Invitational up in Benson to round out our regular season schedule.
Gosh, once it gets started, it doesn't take long, does it?
It's a sprint.
Yeah, it does. That's right.
It's a sprint.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the report. Yep. Best of luck on those two, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, Barry.
All right, sounds good.
Barry Bessonen on Boys Golf. We'll take the break and come back with more of the Culture Show after the 9 o'clock news.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Trigger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors for, and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
I'm at Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, what you got going on?
We have the Shop Hop going on May 7th through 9th. And Monica's is having a Let's Make a Deal in the showroom, plus lots of new arrivals. Come in and have a dark chocolate sea salt caramel. Check out all the new fashions. And make sure you find something fun for your mom for Mother's Day. And also gift certificates are available. See you soon. Open Wednesday 10 to 6, Thursday 10 to 6, Friday 10 to 6, Saturday 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook. Come to the Shop Hop in Awesome Dawson to Monica's.
Well, welcome back to the Culture Show. Remember, in the spring, we start at 8:30. So we got both golf and baseball. Didn't get to tennis yet because of Darby Birgon went first because he's got that tournament starting at 11 o'clock here in Madison against Adrian and Border West. But John Sherb's in the studio, and just one event this past week, John.
Yeah, we got an early one in on Monday this last week. Wasn't the greatest. I dislike Monday meets just because, you know, how the weekend goes with the kids. You know, they come back flat, or they come, well, and plus it was prom at LAC, so that makes it even the double-edged sword that you don't know what you're going to get. You know, so you could have someone that, as I told the kids, I said, cutting the rug, and they didn't know what cutting the rug means. So I'm really getting old if they don't know what it means to cut the rug. But I made the comment to them about that. They come back, so they're dancing all night, sore and everything else, and it's just, they're worn out. Because, I mean, it takes time to recover, so that's the bad. Kind of the bad mix we have, and plus also the weather. We really didn't get nice weather on Monday. It was cold. I mean, if you've ever been to a track meet, I'm always in shorts. I didn't even get in the bus. I didn't even put shorts on. I just knew because it was cold, and when I got to the meet, I had sweatshirt on, gloves on already. It was a cold wind, and so it wasn't the greatest, but the kids, again,
Where was it?
We're in Olivia.
Okay.
And that it's a nice track. They just got that track resurfaced, everything else, but there's that northwest wind we had, and it gets a little bit bitey on there. And so it really was bitey throughout the meet. It finally went down a little bit by the time we got down to the 2 mile and 4x4s. So, but I thought our kids, majority of our kids, some of the kids handled the weather very well. Some of the kids struggled. And that's that whole process, and they've got to figure it out because we've done all of our regular season. Now it's basically tournament time from now out, so hopefully they're ready to go for that next one and we can clean up a couple of errors we had there, and hopefully the mental part is going to be key. And I'll start off with the 100. Boys 100-meter dash, Isaac Blum was our top kid in there. He was 6th overall at 12.09. Elvis Belfile was 11th at 12.20. Josh Weber was 14th at 12.44. Jake Johnson was 20th at 13.18. Griffin Kuchemeister was 25th at 13.49. And Tucker Lyons was 26th at 13.50. 100-meter dash girls. Emerson Erdman was 6th, time of 14.10. Greta Hacker was in 16th at 14.81. Greta Fernals was in 20th at 15.01, and then Tinley Kranz was 29th at 15.79. 200 meter on the boys' side, top one there, Isaac Blum. Again, Isaac's been really has had a nice spring for us, being his first time out for track, and he's really filled in well in the sprinting. He finished sixth at a time of 25.13. Mason Bothan, who was his first time using blocks, because that was our concern with his, you know, he dinged his knee up bad in football and then had surgery done. And I'm just happy to have him back on the track and give him the stability. And so we tried with him blocks the first time because just didn't know how the bending on the knee and everything else, because that's, I think it was a patella tendon or something that he had some surgery done. So didn't know how that would handle. He got a nice 200 in. He's getting better. It's just, you know, again, his season race is starting now, which is too bad. But again, when we're finishing up, but it's good to have him back in there and get him a chance. And he finished 11th at 26.13. Josh Weber was 12th at 26.22. Adrian Speck was in 13th at 26.40. And then Elvis Belfile was in 14th at 26.45. Girls, 200 meter dash. We got Pustin there, finally got a chance to get a 200 out of her. Unfortunately, she had to be in one of the slower heats. Looked very, very comfortable and just walked away with it. And she ended up being a slow heat. She ended up finishing sixth overall. If she had been in competition, maybe she should have got herself in that second or third spot in that 200. You just don't know with when you get in that competition. But she looked very sharp, very strong. She finished sixth with a time of 28.58. And then also we had in there we had Greta Hacker. She ended up finishing 14th at 31.55. Macy Coyer was in 17th at 32 flat. Reese Kuzman was in 18th at 32.15. And so again, good sprinting. We're coming along there. 400 meter dash. 400 meter dash. We did some tweaking in there. Both of our mid-distance kids got kind of I call it an ugly double. One is I wanted to see how they handle it, and also I wanted to give them a workout on a Monday just to challenge them a little bit more. So Tanner was let off on our ugly double in there. He went the 400, and he came back in the 800 with not a lot of rest in there. He finished fourth overall in the quarter at 57.29. Beckett Anderson was in fifth at 57.75, and Caden Brent was sixth at 59.44, and that's his first time back on the track, too, because he rolled his ankle earlier in the season. He's been dinged. He really hasn't done anything since. He's been doing jumping the week before. He hasn't ran, so this is really his first time running, and good to get him back on the track and see where he's at, because that'll help a lot in our depth-wise. 400-meter dash, Bryn also did the ugly double. She did the 4.8 double also, so just to kind of see what her challenge and her. She won it with a time of 101.67 with that wind and everything else. Really wasn't pushed at all, so it could be kind of be good. But nice to see if she could have got into that hot race and maybe broke that down to that 1.0 or even broke the 60-second barrier. So that was a good run for her in that quarter. Bryn also then came back in the 8th. Won the 8th at 229.14, followed by Chloe Glegge in 4th at 249.8. Talia Hursom was in 5th at 249.85. In the 800 for the boys, our top was Tanner Inner. Tanner came back with, he finished 3rd overall with a time of 223.62. Again, you could just tell their legs were flat, and that's just the way it is. But just trying to challenge them a little bit on the endurance and that mental phase of how to fight through some tough spots. Colin Rosendahl was 4th overall in the mile at 529.16. And then in the girls' mile, Cambria Larson was 9th at 652.97. And both the mile kids really didn't get, you know, it was tough, that win on that backside. If you got caught in no man's land, it was really a tough field to do. Boys 2 mile, we got Matthew Bothan in the 2 mile, just to kind of, I wanted to get him in there and get a mark on him. The wind did go down from where it was, so that did help a little bit. I don't think it got down enough as he liked to have it, because I know he kept coming over me. The wind's still blowing. I said, yeah, it is, but you still got to fight through it. And actually, down to team scoring was big on that, and I'll explain that when we get near the end here. But that came down to a big team scoring, and we're glad he went it and did it. So he ended up finishing second. With a time of 13.37. In the 100-meter 110 hurdles, Riley Borman was second overall, 20.58. 100-meter hurdles, For girls, Alexis Olson was eighth at 19.60. And then Cambry Olson was in 12th at 21.94. 300-meter hurdles, Riley Borman, he won it with a time of 53.80. He rolled his ankle, I don't know, in a couple spots there, and it really tweaked him. He did not look comfortable coming down the finish. So hopefully that's an injury we've got solved, that he'll be ready for next week on it. The 300 hurdles for girls, didn't have anybody in the 300 hurdles just because we just trying to save some legs a little bit and see where we're at. So we stayed out of that. In the 4x1 boys, 4x1 we changed it up a little bit. I kind of gave the took the first crew out and just let them relax a little bit, not have to focus on it with the Monday. I'll put in four basically new kids in that just to see where they what they can handle it. Adrian Speck was in there, Griffin Kukemeister, Jake Johnson was in there, and Mason Bothan anchored it. And so they finished fourth with a time of 50.75. It was fun watching them get into something they haven't done, and they handled the stick well. And that's, again, just more experience because most of those guys are really young, and hopefully we can kind of build them for next year on it and ready to step up to fill and replace. Girls 4x1 finished second, 57.96. Macy Coyer, Greta Fernals, Jalissa Ramos. Then also we end up, Emerson was able to, Urban was a stay. They had to get back for a band concert. She basically took the handoff, handed the handoff off, and then won the concert. But I'm glad she was able to do that because that's just nice to be able to still get a race in and compete and then go. 4x2 boys had a little bit of an issue with one of our handoffs. One kid didn't realize he was coming in already, and he was too far back. So he kind of did the old run back and then take off run. And it wasn't anything pretty. It's nothing, something that I think any coaches are going to look at that as a great way of technique of handing a stick off. But they got to stick around and they handled it, and he kind of apologized afterwards. He goes, I got kind of caught. He goes, I didn't think he was coming in that fast, and I thought I had more time. And that's the learning because, again, the kids are a lot of new ones in there. But they still finished third. That was Cale Tufto, Elvis Belfile, Isaac Blum, and Mason Bothan. 4x2 girls, Morgan, we thought we were going to have to put Morgan in, but Morgan didn't have to go in there, so we still had our four, our normal four that we usually remember. They went 204.75, and that was in there. We had Macy Coyer, Jalissa Ramos, Emerson Erdman, and then Cam was in there. She came back because she was on vacation for a while, so we got her back, and then her legs looked really, really really tight, and then that's just a problem with it. But hopefully, again, get her back into it so we have that covered. 4x4 turned into just a kind of a marquee run. It was fun because boys actually got the lead and had the lead. And seeing going into the 4x4, we were 2 points behind Bold on the team scoring. So we needed to beat Bold to tie. If we beat them by more than one spot, then we'd win the team. So that was kind of going into it. And like I said, Matthew getting that second in that 800, in that 2 mile gave us 8 more points. So that helped a lot to get our points in and end up winning it. And just got the lead. Then by the time we got to Tanner, I had a kid that was sitting on him. I was a little worried. And he tried taking a little bit, and he hung him out on the curve a little bit. And he tried taking him down straight. And Tanner, they were neck and neck with about 75 to go. And he found another gear to hold him off and pull away at the end there. So great finish on that. And just you like the way the kids really assembled with that. That was Beckett Anderson, Cale Tufto. We ended up putting Brent in there. And so he went in there, and then along with Tanner Callis in there. So we went 348.66 to finish first. Girls kind of came into the same ballpark also, not on the team scoring affecting, but got into a dogfight there. And we had some decent legs in there. We kind of changed it up a little bit to see where we could go. And 4x4 ended up winning. Bryn ended up catching the girl with about 50 meters to go. She was trailing and just reeled her in. And the nice thing is Chloe gave her a chance because we put Chloe in there the first time running a quarter and just see what she can handle. And she really gave us a nice third leg in there and put us in that spot. We ended up going 424.47. That was Micaiah Poost, Bryn Glege, Talia Hersom, and Chloe Glege. So, again, you got to like the way they finished on that. 4x8s, we ended up having a 4x8 team of pretty much boys. We just kind of took what four guys were available just to get a mark in, just let the kids run. That was Eddie Felton, Kentaro Sorrell, Matthew Bothan, and then also Armando ran in that. So Armando filled into that spot. So he was great in there to finish that. And so in our 4x8 girls, we kind of rearranged that a little bit just to kind of move some kids. Micaiah Poost, Harper Grunholz, Talia Hursom, and Cambry Larson. They finished third with 11:33.64. Shot put, top thrower in there was Gabe Lowry. He finished 12th at 33 feet 3 inches, followed by Tucker Lines in 15th at 30 feet 6 inches. And then Eli Arada was in 22nd, 26:10. And then also Gavin Mosling was in 27th at 21:9 inches. In the girls' shot, and in there, Jayla Myers continues to make some really nice progress. Her now, again, we're trying to get that closer and closer to that 30-foot barrier. She's creeping up on it. She went 27 feet 5 inches to finish 6th. Boys discus, top discus thrower in there was Gabe Lowry again. Gabe is continues to continue moving on. And so, unfortunately, again, he had to lead by example this one just because he decided to play outside the white line instead of in the white line. So he kind of had three dingers, but he still helped the younger kids around to move through. So, but Eli Arada was our top one at 15th at 73 feet 9 inches. That's a personal best for him. And then also Tucker Lines, 22nd, 58 feet 3 inches, and Gavin Mosling was 25th. Girls discus, Shayla was 68 feet 5 inches to finish 10th. High jump, and the boys' high jump, Jackson Hasted finished 2nd, 5 foot 8 inches. And then also Cale Tufto was 6th at 5 foot 4. Matthew Bothan was in 7th at 5 foot 2. And then Elvis Belafile was in 9th at 5 foot. Girls' high jump, Sadie Rosendahl really had some nice attempts at far 10. And that was, she already went 4.8, was one of her best marks, a season best there, but it's not far off her personal best. And she had her last two jumps really, really good. That's one, she would have got her landing gear out of the way. She would have ended up clearing 4.10 and probably would have won it. But she ended up finishing 4th in there at 4'8" clear. Mary Holmgren was 7th at 4'4". In the pole vault, Colin Rosendahl finished 4th at 9 foot in there. And then Kentaro Sorrell finished 8th at 7 foot. Girls pole vault, Sadie Rosendahl finished 2nd. With a jump with a vault of 6 feet 6 inches. Long jump for boys, Jackson Hasted finished 3rd at 18 feet 3 inches, and that's a personal best for him. Then also Beckett Anderson was 17 feet 7 inches, and he finished 5th, and Caden Brent was 7th at 17 feet 0 inches. He finished 7th in there. And then Jake Johnson was 13th at 15 feet 11. Girls long, Morgan Anderson finished 5th at 14 feet 1 inch, and then had Felicia Bond was in 17th at 12 feet 3 inches, and then Greta Fernals was in 19th at 12 feet 1 inch. Triple jump, Jackson Hasted finished 2nd, 36 feet 9. Jake Johnson was in 3rd at 35 feet 1, and then Griffin Kuchemeister was 9th at 32 feet 7 inches. Triple for girls, Morgan Anderson won it. She's been very consistent, which is really nice to see her consistent in that triple. She was first with a 31 feet 9 inches. Lexis Olson was in 6th at 29.7. Reese Kuzman was 7th at 29.7. And then we had Greta Hacker in 12th at 27.8 inches. So just, again, a meet that was good to find out where we're at. We get to see a lot of teams we don't see. You get more of that east area. We didn't see a lot of teams we haven't seen. So it was good. Boys scoring, the boys ended up winning 128 points. Bold was 2nd at 120. GFW was in 3rd at 100. Then Central Minnesota Christian, 68. Atwater Grove City was a 62. And Westbrook Grono Girl, 53. BB, 43. Wyme, 38. And the Community Christian at a Wilmer was 12. In the girls ended up finishing 3rd. Bold won at 155. Atwater at 146. And we are at 102. So I thought we handled well and scored well for what we really didn't make an effort to try to score. We're just trying to get these kids, and the kids are competing. So you got to like that. Now it's kind of, we've had a better week. Get some of the flaws out of our system a little bit. But now we're done with the pre. Now we got to go.
Oh, wow. So one event this up and coming week, and that's postseason.
Yeah, it's conference on Tuesday. It'll be at Clara City. Clara City's got a brand new facility they put in last year. They were supposed to host it last year, but their grass hadn't grown very well, and so they ended up moving to Lakeview last year. So, but this will be their first host with that. So it'll be good to go over and find out where you fit. And so, you know, boys have won it the last 3 years. This is kind of a year that we kind of thought this is going to be our growing year. You know, beginning season, I said, you know, where we'll finish, I don't know. I'm really happy the way these kids have come along. The coaches have done a really good job to get them to move. So, boys-wise team, you know, it's going to be – I still think Lakeview's got so many kids out, and they've got so many horses to build around that I think they're going to probably be the favorite in there. You know, I don't think we're far out of it. I think if we do if we go well in our jumping events and then also our relays, I think we'll be in the thick of things. I think it could be, it's not like on the girls' side where you really have some dominant scoring on that, but it'll still be interesting where we can fit in. You know, we've seen McCray, they've had some nice numbers, you know, and they're at home. Maybe that will give them a boost too. So you got that. We haven't seen T&B all year, so I don't know what they've got down there. You know, Canby scored some points, so it's going to be a dogfight on the boys' side. Girls, really, it's going to be what Canby and what also McCray do. They've got a lot of core back from last year, and they're just a lot of depth there. So they're going to score well. I think we're going to score well. It just depends where we fit in. Our young ones mix in with our older ones, and our older ones step up as to be that senior leaders, that upper echelon. We won't be far out. It's going to come down as where can we score. And it's going to, and like I always tell the kids, you nickel and dime it all the way through. You know, the boys don't have that dominant, competitor, like we had with Boyk, the last, 5 years. And just, he was always, you knew you were going to get out of the high jump. You know, he had four events that he was going to do very well in. So you kind of built around. Now we're going to have to create our own and pick it. So that will be there. And the girls, we've had some young ones fit up. So, who knows? It'll be fun. Hopefully the weather will kind of get better and have something. It looks better next week.
That's where and when.
Clare City on Tuesday, I believe, right off the top of my head, it's a 4 o'clock start with field, and running will start at that 4:30, 4:45. Yeah. So it'll be a fun one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good. Thanks for the report. Best of luck in that, and we'll find out all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track, and we'll be hearing softball next.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotta Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Milan Fire Department, The Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
The Dawson Area Chamber invites you to Dawson for the Shop Hop this Thursday through Saturday, May 7th through the 9th. Grab an order card at any participating location, visit at least 7 of the in-store locations, and you'll be eligible for prizes. Participating locations include Gnometown Grounds, Highway 212 Liquor, The Vine, Jim's Clothing, Monica's Apparel, U Boutique, Heather Floral and Greenhouse, Els Mercantile, Dawson Drug and Gifts, and Ultima Skincare. Enjoy big savings, too, during Dawson Shop Hop this Thursday through Saturday. For information on other happenings around the state, check out exploreminnesota.com.
I'm at Monica's Apparel and Accessories on Chestnut Street in Dawson. Monica, what do you got going on?
We have the Shop Hop going on May 7th through 9th. And Monica's is having a Let's Make a Deal in the showroom, plus lots of new arrivals. Come in and have a dark chocolate sea salt caramel. Check out all the new fashions. And make sure you find something fun for your mom for Mother's Day And also gift certificates are available. See you soon. Open Wednesday, 10 to 6, Thursday, 10 to 6, Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 5, or by appointment. And like me on Facebook. Come to the Shop Hop in Awesome Dawson to Monica's.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lockport Valley Softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. And good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. You guys are in Wabasso this morning for a tournament?
We are in Wabasso, correct.
All right. Well, what other teams are there? We could talk about it later, but what other teams are there?
We're going to see Southwest Christian. Wabasso's there. Obviously, Murray County Central, Bold, Redwood. I can't remember who the sixth team is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You've gone down there before, right? Every year?
Yeah, we go every year. It's a nice chance to see some section teams and compete against some schools from the south that we might end up seeing.
Okay. All right. You guys had a busy week this week. Tell us all about it.
Yeah. No, Monday we started off with a doubleheader. It was originally supposed to be RTR only, but we rescheduled a Bold game there from a weather delay or a weather postponement. So Monday we started off with RTR and had kind of an offensive dogfight there. We just continued to swing the bats really well. We had 10 hits on the day, but we did give up 15 hits to RTR. Defensively, we had 7 errors, and so just too many base runners that we gave up to them. Riley Clark started the game for us. She went 4 innings, gave up 10 hits, gave up 13 runs. It says only one of them was earned, and that would make sense with all of our defensive woes. But she had 6 strikeouts and 8 walks. Maya Mortensen came in and threw the last 3 innings and had 4 strikeouts and 3 walks. Gave up 5 hits, 6 runs, 6 of them earned. So we gave up 19 runs in that particular game, and that's pretty tough to bounce back from. We scored 9.
Yeah.
We ourselves had 10 hits. So Callie Kahn was one of our leading hitters. She was 2 for 4, scoring a run with an RBI. Maddie Geiser was 2 for 4, scoring 2 runs. Abby Amlin was 2 for 3, scoring twice with an RBI. Eva Traeger was 1 for 3, scoring once with an RBI. Sadie Zarbuck scored once and had an RBI. Raya Borsted scored once and had an RBI. And then Maya Mortensen was 2 for 3 with 4 RBIs. So Morty did a nice job at the plate for us. Maddie Geiser and Maya Mortensen both had doubles. And Callie Kahn had a home run in this game. So that was kind of a bomb to right center field. So anyway, like I said, we ended up losing that game 19-9. And they're a team from the southern part of the section. Mm-hmm. And then in the second game, we went on to play Bold, and they've got a really nice pitcher. She's a sophomore and tough as nails. I thought we did pretty nice again. You know, pretty nice job against her. We managed 8 hits. We scored 3 runs. We played pretty well defensively. We only had 2 errors. So we did some good things. We just, they hit us around a little bit. They had 11 hits, and they ended up scoring 15 runs over the course of the game. So in that game, we had Ava DeLean started for us. She threw 5 2/3 innings, gave up 9 hits, 11 runs. 6 of them were earned. She had 4 strikeouts and 3 walks. And then we brought Maya Mortensen in for the final inning and a third. She gave up 2 hits, 4 runs, 4 of them were earned, had 3 strikeouts and 3 walks. Our leading hitters were Aiden Bond was 1 for 3. Maddie Geiser had a nice day at the plate. She was 2 for 3 with a run and an RBI. And Maddie had an absolute taser home run to left field off a very good pitcher. She is really swinging it well this season.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Eva Traeger was 2 for 3 with a run, and Raya Borsted was 2 for 3 with a run. So, and then Carson Whitnabel was 1 for 3. So again, we managed 8 hits off a pretty good hitter, and I was pretty pleased with that. We've got to figure out how to keep the run totals down from the opposing team.
Right, right, okay.
So then Tuesday we had a nice little bounce back. We went to Dawson and played a doubleheader there. And we played, we ended up 10 running them in both games. Again, our bats were on fire. In the first game, we had 18 hits and scored 16 runs in 5 innings, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Defensively, we had 3 errors, so kind of keeping them down a little bit. Our leading hitters for the game, Aiden Bond was 1-for-4, scoring twice with an RBI. Callie Kahn was 1-for-5, scoring 3 times with 2 RBIs. Matty Geiser was 4-for-4. With 4 RBIs, scoring 1 run, and I believe Maddie was one of the players of the game.
Yep.
You were there on the radio.
Yep.
Abby Amlin was 2-for-4, with scoring 3 times with 2 RBIs. Abby was the other player of the game. Eva Traeger was 4-for-4 with 2 RBIs and 2 runs. Eva's really having a nice year at the plate, too. Sadie Zarbach, she's starting to get rolling here a little bit. She was 2-for-3. With 2 RBIs and scored 1 run. Carson Whitnable was 1-for-3. And then Maya Mortensen was 3-for-3. Maya's really swinging the bat well for us, too. She was kind of a late addition to our lineup, but is really picking things up in the 9 spot. So she scored 3 runs as well. And like I said, Maddie had 2 doubles. Aiden Bond had a double, and Callie Kahn had a double in that game. So we won that 16-6, so it was nice to get back on the winning track.
Mm-hmm.
And then we headed into our pitchers. Riley Clark threw that game. She threw 5 innings, gave up 5 hits, 6 runs. 3 of them were earned. She had 4 strikeouts and 3 walks.
Mm-hmm.
So did a nice job of doing what we needed her to do there. In the second game, we again had an offensive explosion. We had 19 hits in the game. So in these two games, we had 37 hits, which is pretty darn impressive in 10 innings of play.
Mm-hmm.
We did have 7 errors that game. So the snowball fight kind of peaked its ugly head here. But our hitters really got after it. Callie Kahn was 2-for-4 with 4 scoring 4 runs and 3 RBIs. Maddie Geiser was 3-for-4 having 4 RBIs, scoring 3 runs. So Maddie was 7-for-8 on the day.
Unreal.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it is.
And then Abby Amlin was 4-for-5 with 4 RBIs and scoring twice. I don't even know. I mean, I think she was maybe for us. Eva Traeger was 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs and 1 run. Sadie Zarbach was 2-for-5 with 2 RBIs, scoring a run. Raya Borsted was 2-for-5, scoring twice. Carson Whitnable was 3-for-3 with 4 runs and 1 RBI. And then Maya Mortensen was 1-for-2 with scoring 4 times with an RBI. Maya Mortensen had a double and Raya Borsted had a double. Abby Amlin had her first career home run to right center field, drove it out to right center. And so that was kind of a fun deal. And then Patty Geiser hits another home run to left field. So, again, just a lot of pop in Maddie's bat. So, Ava Deline pitched that game for us. She threw 5 innings, gave up 10 hits, 11 runs, 5 of them were earned. She had 0 strikeouts and 2 walks. So again, she was making them earn it and not giving up free bases. And we talk about that quite a bit. Like, we can handle giving up the hits to some degree, but we do want to make sure that we're not walking girls, hitting girls, things like that, and just giving ourselves a chance. So, mm-hmm. We had a clean sweep with Dawson, and that was a big deal. And that led us into Thursday's games against KMS. And there, that big section implications there were kind of in a dogfight for the 2 seed. And I felt like we needed to at least split. Obviously, a sweep there would be great. We went into the first game, and they've got a nice pitcher, a senior pitcher, who did a pretty nice job against us. We ended up with 10 hits against her, and defensively had 3 errors and scored. We ended up losing that game 10-7. They had scored a few runs here for us and for themselves, and then the score was tied up 5-5 going into the 7th, and they had an explosion. They scored 5 runs, and that's kind of where our wheels fell off a little bit. So that was kind of a bummer deal. In that game, Aiden Bond was 1-for-4 scoring a run. Callie Kahn was 2-for-4 scoring twice. Matty Geiser was 2-for-3. Abby Amlin, 1-for-4 with a run and an RBI. Eva Traeger was 2-for-3 with two RBIs and a run. Raya Borsted was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI. And Maya Mortensen was 1-for-3 with an RBI. Both Aiden Bond and Eva Traeger had doubles for us on the game. Riley Clark threw 3 1/3 innings, gave up 9 hits, 5 runs, 2 of them were earned, had 5 strikeouts and 3 walks. So again, did a nice job of not giving up the freebies, which we're preaching here. Ava DeLean came in and threw 3 2/3, gave up 6 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them were earned, had 2 strikeouts and 3 walks. So we lost that game. That put a little pressure on us. We really needed the second game, and our girls really answered. We came out, we kind of questioned, hey, do we have the dog in us right now to come out fighting? And they certainly did. We scored in the first 4 innings. We scored 16 runs in the first 4 innings.
Wow!
Had 15 hits on the day, but KMS, they kept fighting back too because they wanted that 2 seed. It's kind of between us, I think, for the 2 seed, and they wanted it, but we ended up edging them out 17-13 in almost a football score type of game. We had 15 hits and 2 errors. They had 11 hits and 2 errors. So our leading hitters on that day were Aiden Baum, 1-for-5 with scoring twice. Callie Kahn was 3-for-3 with 5 runs. Matty Geiser was 3-for-5 with 3 runs, 5 RBIs. Abby Amlin was 3-for-4 with 3 RBIs, scoring 3 times. Eva Traeger was 3-for-5, scoring 3 times with 1 and scoring once. With 3 RBIs and scoring once. Raya Borsted was 1-for-4 with an RBI and scoring a run. Maya Mortensen was 1-for-3, scoring a run. And so, and our pitchers, we had kind of a plethora of pitchers here. Maya Mortensen started the game. She threw 3 innings for us. Gave up only 1 hit, 5 runs, 4 earned runs. She had 6 walks and 2 strikeouts. Ava DeLean threw an inning. She gave up 4 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them were earned, 4 walks and no strikeouts. And Riley Clark threw 3 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 earned runs, had 3 walks and 1 strikeout. So the line there was kind of a tough one with 13 walks to 3 strikeouts and 2 hit batters, but we weathered the storm, and this was definitely a team win. And we're looking to bounce back here on Saturday.
All right, talk about today then.
Well, today is just a day where we're going to see some good pitchers. We're missing a few girls due to some commitments that they had, so that's kind of a big deal for us. But that's also all right because girls will get an opportunity to show what they can do and compete and whatnot. So not a lot of implications to these games other than being competitive. You want to win as much as you can, right?
Right.
But what we'll do here is we'll see some teams and be able to scout some teams that if we can get deep enough into section play, then maybe we'll see them and have a good little heads up on some strategies we can put in place to give ourselves the best chance at finding success.
All right. What do you got next week then, Scott?
Next week is a quiet week. We have Mineota only on Thursday. That'll be kind of a fun game. Our girls will get to see a quality team and one of the best pitchers in the area in Hennen. And I'm looking forward to see if we're up for that challenge. And then we're going to be trickling right into section play. The season goes too fast.
It does. Blows by, doesn't it?
It sure does.
When is the seeding meeting? Do you know? Is it next week already?
Yeah, so it'll be Friday the 15th. We'll get our seedings put in there. And
okay.
So we should know where things stand by Friday, but I'm optimistic that we will be the 2 seed and hopefully hosting in that first round of section play, which
is important.
It is important, and it's nice for our fans to be able to get out and see it locally. Some beautiful upgrades to the field. If they can't see it locally, it'll be on Huddle, I believe, and live stream, so they can watch it if they're in the tractor or anything like that. So
good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck today. It's in Wabasso, right?
In Wabasso, okay. Yes.
All right. Thanks for the report, Scott, and good luck today.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Todd Sawatsky, head softball. You don't want to be volleyball coach, do you?
I don't know anything about volleyball.
Head softball coach out at La Capelle Valley. We'll be take a commercial break and be right back with more of the Coach's Show.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Your mental health matters. Your mental health is as important as physical health. Just like our physical health, we can do things that make us mentally healthier. When you feel mentally well, you're more able to manage the stress and challenges you face in life. Mental health is about what we do as individuals and how we are supported in our communities. For example, neighborhoods and organizations can provide resources that support your sense of belonging, connectedness, and mental well-being. You can find safe and confidential support through local mental health organizations or the 988 Minnesota Lifeline. This public service message presented by Q92 Radio. Lincoln Marketing and the following merchants invite you to pick up a free Lack Apparel, Yellow Medicine, and Chippewa County's Minnesota Guide publication. Pick one up in Boyd at the Boyd City office, Canby, Ridge Rock Financial, Chanhassen at Chanhassen Dinner Theater, in Granite Falls at Fagan Fighters World War II Museum, Project Turnabout, Riverside Bottle Shop, Maynard at 80th Street Aggregates, Montevideo, the Chippewa County Historical Society, Chippewa County Parks, Ultimate Containers LLC, and in Sisseton, South Dakota at Dakota Connection Casino and Travel Center. Please support these local merchants and visit online LincolnMarketing.us.
Welcome back here to the studio, talking boys tennis now with Austin Ireland. You had two events this past week.
Yep. Yeah, we had two matches, one on Tuesday and then one on Thursday, kind of a contrast. One was a little bit colder than the other.
Okay. So, okay, fire away.
Yeah, so Tuesday we played Osakis. We kind of met them halfway. We played them in Morris, and it was actually a nice wind break a little bit. The sun was out, but yeah, there was some stocking hats and jackets on for sure that day.
Oh wow!
Ended up losing them 4-3. Really good matchups throughout. Hudson Giese at number one singles. He lost to Tyler Steer 6-4, 6-2. And you know, like I said, that was a really close matchup there. You know. I think it was 4-3, you know, and if you just, you know, let's say if it turns to 5-3 or 5, then that makes a big difference in the mindsets and the games, but, you know, that's why you got to keep staying mentally strong. At two singles, Aiden Manning, he lost to Drew Van Nys. Aiden does a nice job, puts a lot of spin on it, you know, just couldn't figure out the wind on Tuesday. We have Pepe Martin. He played a challenger, a kid that's kind of a pusher, a defensive player, and he kind of let that get into his head a little bit. You know, he's got to be careful. You know, a pusher, you know, like the kid from Osage, he just gradually gets the ball back, just plays defensively. And, you know, as teenage boys, you know, they want to generate the power, generate the pace. So when you get a kid who's just going to kind of dink it back to you, it's easy to get frustrated, and that's when we kind of can make some mistakes. And I ended up losing 6-0, 6-1. And then Aaron Will, a similar player he played against, ended up losing 6-2, 6-0 at fourth singles. Our doubles, we had a couple of seniors, Brody Nelson, Thomas Felton. They ended up winning in straight sets, but both of them went to a tiebreaker, 7-6, 7-6, winning the tiebreaker, 7-2, 7-2. And, they do a better job of moving around. I think sometimes we go for they call it a cheeseburger. When you hit a ball and it hits the ground and spikes over and goes over the fence without them hitting it, sometimes we go for those. It's fun to hit, right? You hit as hard as you can and it jumps over the fence, but sometimes it's nice to just get an angle too, you know, put the ball away that way. But they did a nice job picking up the win at one doubles. Two doubles, Thatcher Johnson and Gannon Feasting. Those guys, they were in Bachman Turner Overdrive. They just took care of business. They won 6-0, 6-1. And then kind of the match of the night was Landon Hurstman and Max Boffin. Max and Landon, they won 6-3 then in the first set, and then went to the second set. They ended up losing that second set in the tiebreaker. And that's a big mental thing, because, you know, you think, oh, if I just win this second set, match is over. But we ended up going into a tiebreaker for the third set, and we ended up winning 12-10. I gotta give credit to Landon Hurstham, though. He was at deuce for about 15 minutes. That was in that second set. And he hung in there, and we ended up, you know, getting another game off of that. And, you know, and then this year, too, you know, he's been at third doubles all year. You know, he's holding that ground, but we switched out. He's had five different doubles partners, and that's a lot of changing. So he's hanging in there and good for them. So yeah, so it was a good win for Landon and Max. And then it was a lot nicer Thursday. We went to Wilmer.
Okay.
Took on the Cardinals. And both these teams we play this week were non-conference, non-section. So usually, when you have that, we don't play out the full third set. We just kind of do a super tiebreaker for 10 on that. And this is one we kind of got lost this one there and 7-0. At one point, their coach, we're up halfway through with the match. He goes, "Boy, you're going to pull us out here." Well, we had three of them that we lost and it went into the third set. So Hudson Giese lost to Carter Newberg in straight 6-0, 6-1. Aiden Manning, he won his first set 6-1 and then lost that second set 6-3 and then in the tiebreaker 10-2. He did a great job start the match up, and then once your opponent, kind of quits making those mistakes, couldn't quite get back on track. Pepe Martin, he lost in straight 6-0, 6-0. Then Aaron Will is another one. Aaron played a great match. Same with Aiden, played a phenomenal match. Just couldn't quite seal the deal. Ended up losing in three sets. He won the first set 6-3, and then lost that second set 6-4. And a lot of times when you win that first set, you'll lose that second set. It's hard to overcome that obstacle. If I just would have won that match would be over. I'd be sitting there eating popcorn, watching my teammates. But ended up going into that third set tiebreaker and lost 10-3. I won doubles, 6-4, 6-4, Brody Nelson, Thomas Felton. Yeah, it was a good competitive matchup. It was pound for pound, point for point, but just couldn't quite get it going and couldn't quite just get over the top. Thatcher Johnson and Gannon Thiessing, that's another group. They won their first set and then ended up losing their second set. I think the score was 6-3 and 6-1, and then lost the third set tiebreaker 11-9. And I was trying to make defense on that. They had a question in between changeovers, and they can't talk to him on the first changeover, and I think that they got messed up a little bit. They switched sides on the server, and I think that made it quite into our mindset a little bit. And then our third doubles, Landon Hurstman and Max Boston, ended up losing 6-1, 6-0. But all week, really nice, close, competitive matchups. Bet we could get them in. A lot of times these are the non-section, non-conference. A lot of times they get bumped because of rainouts and stuff like that. So
right.
Glad we were able to get them in and get some good competition there this week.
Okay. Well, what's in store next week?
Next week we got a tough one here. We got the returning section champion from 3A, Redwood. Okay. It's our regular season finale. It's going to be nice hosting it out at Lock of Parle Valley. So it'll be, hopefully it's nice weather-wise and you get to utilize those beautiful courts we have and not have to travel.
Yeah. And what day is that? Tuesday?
That's not. Yeah, Tuesday. Oh, yep, 4:30.
Well, close out the regular season at home, so you got some time to go on and watch some good tennis and in a beautiful facility now. So, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week, you start your postseason.
Yep, right now. The 18th, 30th, the first round of team, and the first couple rounds of individuals are 21st. So,
okay.
Yeah, once it gets nice out, the season's over.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's that way for everything in the spring, all the activities. Well, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your report. Best of luck, and we'll hear all about that match with Redwood Falls next Saturday morning.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
That's right. Okay. Austin Ireland on tennis. We'll wrap up the coaches show after these messages.
Hey, Dan, what's on your mind?
Legacy.
Families coming back generation after generation?
Exactly. Being a legacy dealership makes us part of life's milestones, trusted long after that first Chevy drive home. Here, relationships last as long as our warranty for life.
Because it's not just a Chevy, it's a Heartland Chevrolet. Visit heartlandmotor.com.
Together, let's drive at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
What's
you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do with all the money you save?
What you're going to do with all the money you save when you take advantage of big savings this week at Jubilee Foods. This week in Madison, you'll find bone-in assorted pork chops, just $1.99 a pound. California-grown strawberries, $3.99 for a two-pound bag. Much more to save this week at Jubilee Foods in Madison, where they bag your groceries and take them right out to your car.
What you going to do with all the money you save?
Back here at the studio... the volleyball, boys volleyball team was in action last night, and currently they are playing Maple Grove right now. But not so good results last night. They lost to Anoka in two sets, 25-11 and 25-17, and then they lost to Prior Lake, 25-14 and a close one, 25-21. But... gosh, they drive all the way down the cities and play Friday, Saturday, and they're doing a great job. So best of luck to them against Maple Grove, and I don't know who they'll play the second game today, but then head back home. Their season is winding down like everybody else. So, and let's see. Don't forget about the baseball here. As soon as we wrap up the show, I'll go down there and be keeping score or something, watching the game. Lackawanna Valley plays Adrian Ellsworth, a team with a, I think, 12-2 record. So we'll see. Eagles only have two losses themselves, so should be a good matchup. And then Adrian plays Border West the second game, and Lackawanna will play Border West later on, about 4 o'clock or so. Okay, close out the speaking baseball. You know, people who work in bakeries make good umpires, Maynard.
Why is that?
Well, every morning they say, batter up.
There you go.
So
that's it, huh?
That's it, yeah.
Okay. Have you met my buddy who works in marketing?
No.
His name is Bill Board.
Okay.
With that, we'll see you again next week.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
That's Dick Newman with the Coach's Show here on Q92 this morning.